Ons voor jou, wat nou? Die podcast. Come join the conversation with three South African guys as they discuss the challenges and ervarings of life as a SEFA expat. Listen, share and form part of this expat community.
Hi guys and welcome to a new episode of Ons voor jou, wat nou? Die podcast. So today we are doing things a bit different. We will be with three guys, but one of them will not be here. So today it's me and Edouan. And today is, I would almost call it special because we're chatting to someone who is currently in the process of basically everything we've discussed in over the past few podcasts. And his name is Jacques. Edouan, can you tell us a bit more about what we can expect in this episode and a bit more about Jacques?
Yes, I've known Jacques for quite some time. I think it's about 14 years or so. And we're going to combine it with his current experience. He's on his way to the US and we're just going to cover a few interesting topics. And most of those topics are going to be related to the episodes that we've done in the last few months. You know, your first thoughts of wanting to move and further on, you know, how do you choose your country? Where you want to move to, and then also I think an interesting topic will be getting all your administrative ducks in a row. You know, that might be a challenge in these times. And then you know, those last few weeks before you're leaving, there's the point of no return. We're gonna touch on that, or hopefully he touches on that a bit. And then, you know, what is all the new things and the unfamiliar things when you've landed and when you've arrived in those first. Jacques has been there for, I believe, 2 weeks. And I think at the end we should close it off with, you know, what is he looking towards in the future? You know, what's the next few months holding in for him? So, yeah, I'm really interested. Just a comment on Sia. He is... Where is he currently? Is he in Curaçao?
Yeah, I think Curaçao, or well, he's somewhere not talking to us at least.
Yeah, he's probably playing golf or on the surfboard. Do you think he can surf? I hope he can surf. Otherwise, I'm talking him up for nothing. Yeah.
Then also we're doing something different than usual. Since we're gonna have a chat to Jacques, we've decided to throw in the SAFA index in the beginning of this episode to get that sorted before we get talking.
Welcome to the SAFA Index.
And since it's summer, well, in the Netherlands it's summer, but it doesn't feel like it these last few days. But in the summertime, we all want to have a lekker braai. En ek weet, in Suid-Afrika, vir baie mense is het 'n vloekwoord as jy met briquette of charcoal braai, eintlik wil ons op hout braai. But given the circumstances of all the other countries, it's not also always possible to find wood or to have good hardhout, sirkelboshout. So we are looking into Weber briquettes price today. Edouan, can you...
Corrie, dit is nog steeds beter as gas.
Nee, verseker.
Dis verseker. So ons is vergewe, laat ons hierdie ene doen as Weber briquette dan nou vandag.
Ja, dit is half bietjie tussen en dis die gas nie, maar is ook die hout nie. Maar dit kry vleis gehad.
Verseker.
Gooi vir ons 'n paar pryse
daar. Weber briquette.
Ja.
Ja man, okay, Suid-Afrika, kom ons begin met Suid-Afrika, pak 8 kg, ons werk hom op 8 kg pak, so is 'n monster van 'n pak. Hy is R140 in Suid-Afrika. Dis die prys wat ons kon kry. En Amerika R260, Australië R220, Canada R205, in the Netherlands R270 if you had to work it back to the euro, and then to the New Zealand dollar R280. And then if you go to the UAE, you know, they've come in at the lowest on some of these, but they actually come in at the second most expensive one on the Weber briquette. Not a lot of briars there. At R309, it's rounded to R310. And then the UK, the most expensive one on the list, R320 if you have to buy an 8 kilogram Weber pack of briquettes. So the reason for the 8 kilogram is you don't want to walk to the store twice. Or why are we buying 8 kilograms?
Well, there are two reasons. I think in countries like England or the UK, it rains a lot there. So as I fear kid do it gaan aan je daarom nog.
Yeah, precies.
No, so basically you have a lot of countries have standard 4 kilogram packs, some have 10 kilogram and some have 8. So this is sort of a disclaimer. We tried to convert all of them to the 8 kilogram bag. So that's it for the SAFA index today. And then we are going over to the chat. We can gesels met Jock in hoor wat sy ervarings is. Well, hy is nog redelijk niet in hierdie hele proces. But I think it's going to be interesting to have a chat to Jock, hear what he says and what his experiences has been up until now.
Yeah, let's go for it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so as we mentioned today, we're talking with Jock. He's sitting in the Bahamas currently. Jock, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time.
No, it's a pleasure for having me. Thank you.
Thanks. So I think just to give everyone a bit of a background and understanding of the conversation we're having today, can you give us a bit of background, who you are, what you do, and where you're from?
All right, so I'm Jock Gissel van Vieren. I'm an engineer. I'm from Centurion and currently working for a US company in nuclear. We are busy doing nuclear fuel for them, designing a plant. So I'm currently on my way to the US to assist in getting the plant up and running, advising, and then hopefully in the long term moving over and then actually getting to the production and qualification of the fuels that we're designing.
Oh, that sounds great, Jock. From my side also, thanks for joining. And I wondered what brought you to this choice of actually leaving South Africa and going to explore the expat life and the world out there. You know, if you can, just give us some background on that decision. You know, what brought you to that point?
Well, I think the biggest thing for us was that, I think my wife and I are pretty fine in South Africa. We've got good jobs, we've got good qualifications, but since we had children, we've obviously changed our point of view in terms of long-term planning. And I think that's our big thing, the opportunities for our children. They won't have the same opportunities as what we have, going to university, the schools, the job prospects for South Africa going forward. So I think that's our biggest idea in terms of looking outward. So we were looking at, where do you want to go? Why do you want to go? You need reasons for you want to go. You don't want to leave to flee from something. You want to go to something where it actually offers you benefits. And I was lucky that I think it was at the end of 2019, my first employer I ever had gave me a call and said he wants me on his team. They've got a contract with a US company and it's all, going abroad and you're going to stay there and make a new life there. Am I in? And, it all sort of just fell in place from there. So, making the decision, I think where you want to go is a difficult one. But in this case, we were fortunate enough to have the decision made for us to America, which I think, there's pros and cons everywhere. I've never been to America myself. So there's a lot of uncertainty in that. I can only probably comment on New Zealand because I've visited a few times and spent time there with family, but we'll see what the future holds.
Yeah, I must agree with that that point where you said it's about going towards something. You know, that's really powerful words. I always believe in that, and I've mentioned it a few times as well in past episodes. But yeah, that gives us quite a good, quite a good view on your situation and your thoughts and your choices.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think so. Yeah, we've covered a few topics in the past few episodes, and they all relate very closely to this. And I think one thing that could be quite a headache or frustration for people who've taken this decision is all the documents and the all the process and things you need to go through to actually get to the other side. And I think in your situation, just for some context, Jock is currently in the Bahamas waiting to get into the US with and waiting for his visa. Jock, what are the, some things, except now for this, or maybe elaborating a bit on this, but what type of challenges did you face in terms of this process of actually getting abroad? And were there any kind of weird documentation you needed or filled in, or did your company take a lot of that from your off your plate? How did you experience that part?
So I think COVID has completely thrown everything on its head. I think everything that you think or have researched has completely changed. I'm fortunate enough in this case that we have immigration lawyers that do the major documentation for us, but that's in terms of the more permanent type visas. I'm currently just going over on a business visitor's visa, so that incorporates me doing, I guess, the DS-160 on the US website, which is, it's quite a frustrating website to use because it keeps timing out and you lose if you don't save your data. You can't also copy paste things over. So you have to include like your job descriptions, CVs and things like that. And it takes a long time typing all of that stuff out. You can't copy and paste from a document. So that was extremely frustrating. Mm. Our other frustration was, so we started the consulate process to get an interview in South Africa last year, May or June sometime. That was the original time we were going to go over. We've had 3 cancellations since then. And that's one of the reasons I'm sitting in Bahamas. I think they're one of the only US consulates in the world that's open for visas, specifically the visa categories that we're looking at. And that's prompted us to fly this route. So there was a lot of documentation to just get ready to get in the consulate. Then we have challenges like I have to be outside of South Africa for 14 days or any red listed country for 14 days before I can step foot inside the consulate, not even in America. Then it's trying to find a route to actually get to the consulate, which is difficult. I think I had 5 flights just to get here over 3.5 days. So 5 flights, 3.5 days. You're talking about numerous COVID tests. Every single country that you land in, even if you're in the transfer, you have to fill in some kind of electronic document to get a QR code or a health visa. There's a lot of admin that goes into it to just get out of the country. Even in South Africa, before I could leave, took me about 2 hours, 45 minutes just to check in my bags for them to go through every single destination that I have planned and ensure that my PCR test is valid within all that time frame. Every single country has different rules. Am I allowed in that country on my passport? So in terms of documentation, just to travel was, in my opinion, a nightmare. I've mentioned that I'm fortunate enough that we've got immigration lawyers that are looking at our more permanent visas. So we've just filled in basic items for them, sent it to them, and they're doing the rest. I think the amount of paperwork has times by 10 just because of COVID and just trying to fly around and get out of the country. So it's a bit of a nightmare currently.
Wie van nou stokkies het jy nie eens gehad in die afgelope 2 weke?
Ek het 2 gehad, so ek het die een in sit. Ek het eintlik nie, ek het 3 gehad, want my kind was gebore Woensdag en ek het Vrydag uitgevlieg. So dit was my verskriklik. So ek was eendag kry vir die hospitaal. Toe moes ek natuurlik eendag kry om uit te vlieg en ek moes 5 dae ek moet 14 dae hier, so moet ek 'n toets, 'n health survey doen en dan op die 5de dag hier, so moet ek 'n toets doen. Gelukkig is die een hier baie lekker. Hulle druk hom net so 'n bietjie in aan albei kante en dan so sharp. Maar daar in Suid-Afrika kiel hulle jou so hier agter jou oog dat jou oë traan vir so 10 minute. Dit is verskriklik.
Yeah, that's quite intense.
that sounds really intense, Jock, but knowing you for quite some time now, what's it, 13, 14 years, probably. I would not actually be able to name another person who can actually get all those things in order. And especially around, you said COVID made it difficult, but I reckon the part that also made it difficult was, your second born, your daughter was born 2 days before you flew out. Is that correct? So, firstly, yes. If that's correct, you know, how did that add to the emotional part of this journey that you are on now?
So, I mean, it's difficult to describe in words. You try and switch off to think that, all right, you've got a short-term sacrifice to make for a long-term benefit. And you sort of just pray. That's all you can do is put faith in the process to know that hopefully it's going to work out one day. You know, is the long-term benefit going to be worth the short-term sacrifice? And will it actually pan out into a long-term benefit? I think that's the big thing. I mean, we all know how difficult it is to get a visa, and then secondly, to actually then move to a more permanent type green card, in my case, process or residency. It's not something that you just get. You hear more bad stories than good when it comes to that. So I mean, when it's a process you do based on faith, but it's difficult. I'm watching my child grow up on a computer screen with photos and videos. I'm sitting in Bahamas where the internet is pretty like our ADSL network was back in the day. So it's not that great. So it's quite tough. You know, and then obviously the time zone comes into play. So when I wake up, half the day is already gone. And then, you know, I try and get my morning routine done, try and get a bit of work done. But in the meantime, I'm trying to spend as much time online with my family just so that I can get that bit of contact. So it's not nice. I would have flown out the 30th of June. But I said there's no way that that's going to happen. So it would have been on the day my child was born. And so we could at least postpone it out. But I mean, if it wasn't for COVID, firstly, I probably wouldn't be sitting in the Bahamas. But secondly, I wouldn't need to be two weeks out of the country before I can even get to my consulate interview. So that would have given me a lot more time to just spend time with my family, assist my wife. And I mean, sitting with a four-year-old and a newborn, I don't think that's an easy task. So I think she's got a lot tougher time than what I have currently. I complain about a lot of stuff, but the admin is nothing compared to what she's dealing with. But I mean, it is tough. It's extremely emotional. I think as time goes on, it becomes more difficult. You sort of start longing for stuff that you used to, you know, seeing people every day, the laughs, the touches, the playing and things like that. So I mean, it's the beginning of my 4-month process at the moment, but it's tough.
Yeah, no,
I can imagine.
Yeah, no, it's, I think it's already, big of enough burden or hassle to just get to a new country, and COVID and you having a newborn really adds some weight to the emotional scale, if you want to put it like that. And you just touched on one thing, and that's the things that you miss. And we, in previous episodes, we also discussed like what is the one word when you think about a new country. So the favorite was the unfamiliarity, and maybe a bit difficult for you to dig into that now, since you're just in a sort of stayover, not already in your final destination. But are there things that you do already to sort of get yourself a bit more familiar with your surroundings? How do you sort of feel or look at that part? Because you sort of need to create a new normal for yourself. And sitting in a hotel room, it's obviously a bit more difficult than when you are where you should be. But how do you look at the past 2 weeks, let's say, in terms of all this unfamiliarity and the new things you're exploring and experiencing at the moment?
I try and speak to locals as much as I can. I mean, that's the big thing, is speak to the guys that live here. I'm very fortunate that the language here is English. Even though they speak English, you don't always understand them. They've got an accent, so it makes it difficult, especially when they speak quick. So just quickly on that note, like, I spent a night in the Dominican Republic. So I landed in Santo Domingo at about 11 at night, and I had to fly out the next morning. But everyone speaks Spanish there. No one speaks English, absolutely no one. So getting a taxi is beyond difficult. Even on the airplane, when they ask you what are the two choices you want to eat, she couldn't understand what I was saying. And this is the air hostess. So she just shoved whatever food she had in her hand in front of me, and I had to eat whatever she gave me. Luckily, she gave me a beer, so that was at least nice. I think is I try and sort of just get out the room every now and then, go for a walk, especially speak to the people. So I'm a bit in a tourist central place here, but I try and go a bit more down to where the locals are. Try and get into the culture. I've had some of the food. Not really a big fan. I think a big thing that takes adjusting is, and I'm sure you guys can speak of this, is you always trying to make the comparison into how much rand is this, how much rand is that, because things are especially expensive here in the Bahamas, and I think after COVID it's tripled in prices. So I find myself doing that the whole time, which based on everyone I've ever spoken to is what you shouldn't do, but it's difficult. And it's interesting how you end up speaking more about home than what you actually speak about your current area that you're staying in. So I think the adjustment's a bit difficult. Like I say, I think in my case now, as I'm sitting in a hotel room, I'm trying to get work done, but my focus is mostly at home. It's I think it's more on other things. So it makes it a bit tough. I think it's, I'm not working as efficient as I should, which is not nice for me. I don't like doing that because I feel I'm getting behind in my work. But I think it's just part of the adjustment of you moving from your familiarity to a completely new place, and trying to just take grasp of what's going on around you while still remaining focused on things that usually you wouldn't worry about. It is tough. The only thing you can do is sort of immerse yourself in people's cultures, speak to them, and try new things. I think if you going to try and hold on too much on to what you're used to, I think it's going to be a bit more difficult than putting yourself out there and trying to incorporate yourself in your surroundings.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds almost like you saw the roadmap of how to immigrate. Then you thought, I also want to build some character, and you just added yourself some extra loops to jump through, because this is quite an intense way of immigrating.
Yeah,
it sounds really, really intense. But Jock, the reason why we're also speaking to you is there's going to be people that listen to this and they might learn something. And one of the other things that we covered, I believe in episode 4 or 5, was the financial side. So how are you getting along at the moment? You know, what type of bank card are you using? Are you still using a South African bank card, or are you using an online bank, one of the, like TransferWise, or it's recently been renamed to Wise? Or how are you going about, because I did hear you say there about working it back to rand. That's still going to continue for another few months, I can promise you that.
Definitely,
because it's just generally more expensive, and I can imagine the US is also going to be generally more expensive, and it's human and normal to do that for the first few months. But yeah, so what are you using, a South African credit card, or how are you going about your spending?
Yeah, so I'm using my South African credit card at the moment. I must say I'm fortunate in terms of my rates. I haven't had any problems with it. So I can do things online. I can, I haven't had any issues. I try and keep as little cash on hand as possible. So here in Bahamas, they've got the Bahamian dollar as well as the US dollar. So it's a dual currency and they 1-to-1. So I try and keep as much US dollar on me as I can. And that's only for incidental things like taxis and things like that, things that you have to have cash. But otherwise, I try and keep everything electronic. I find that it's much easier. The banking systems, I think, have made it easier. We have got Tapia, we've got everything. I don't seem to have any problems in terms of transacting with my credit card. It's the only card I had through my bank. They seem to be quite good in terms of that internationally. What is nice though, so I receive obviously a substance and travel allowance, and my bank has, I've got the capability of opening a US, it's sort of just like a fixed deposit type account. So they can deposit that straight into that account, dollar to dollar. I don't have to worry about anything, but if I want to transact with that money, I obviously need to transfer that into my normal South African transactional account, which then incurs the exchange control and cost like that. So that's the only hurdle in terms of me jumping through to access any money that I get from the company to just sort of live But in terms of transacting, I haven't had any problems, issues with my normal credit card.
And that transfer, if you have to do it now, are you just going to use your South African bank, or are you going to use platforms like Wise or WorldRemit, or, you know, there's a few out there, but yeah.
Yeah, so I'll just use my bank in the interim. So a big thing we're trying to do when we get to America, one of the first things we do is try and open a non-resident banking account, because we want to be building credit worthiness. I think that's the biggest hurdle for us financially going forward, is getting a credit worthiness so that you can take out loans for cars and anything, you know, to build a brand new life with. So that is going to be a challenge for us in the beginning based on our visas, because we need a proof of residence, and they don't want to affect our visa process going forward with, small complications like possibly having a bank account there or whatever, because they're going to ask, what's the purpose for it if you're only a business tourist? So that's definitely one of the big things we want to do. As far as I know, they don't see our credit worthiness in South Africa at all. So you sort of start from scratch when you get there, which is not nice. I mean, you've built this big credit record for how many years, and it's all just gone when you move to a new country. So
yeah, because you're going to the US and they're pretty big on the credit scores. Similar to South Africa. Elsewhere that it's been different. Like Corey, we don't really in the Netherlands, we don't really use a credit score.
No, not really.
It's more income and it's more income based. So then you get a percentage. Okay. They actually discourage any credit here. When in the US they're pretty big on the credit cards, building credit scores and getting, you know, points and air miles and all of that. It's pretty big in the US as far as I know. So you're on the right track. But talking of the right track, the next 6 months, how do you see it planning out? Or call it the next 4 months. I heard you said 4 months earlier. What is lying ahead? And how do you keep, firstly, very important, positive? And what's the interim milestones that you're looking, you know, more personally, the interim milestones towards in the next few months before you actually meet up with your family again?
Yeah, so I think the work I'm going to do now once I'm in America is quite critical to our future. So, I mean, my biggest focus is ensuring that when we get there, we actually provide the US company with product. So, I mean, they've put a lot of faith in us. They've put a lot of financial, a lot of finances into us because we say we can do this. We have done it in a small lab in South Africa, but now we need to do it on a much larger scale there. So, I mean, that's the goal I'm going forward is, the proof is in the pudding. So we want to put product in their hands and show them we've got the capability. While we're doing that, I mean, the big thing now is to get our more permanent visas. So that's probably going to happen now in the next 4 months. With COVID, you know, no one can give us time frames. No one can give us the routes. It's extremely difficult. I think all the processing centers for any kind of visas completely flooded because of the backlog that they now are sitting in. So the big goal is just to sort of identify, you know, once we know we're going to get a visa, the next step is what are we going to do going over? So when I take the family over, so I'm probably going to be going back for a month or two or three, depending on the visa. And then we're going to then move on a more permanent basis to the US. So are we moving all our goods over, or do we get an allowance to set up shop brand new there? That we don't know. So those are decisions that sort of you're constantly thinking about what will be the best. You take stuff you know. I mean, in our case, let's think of my four-year-old son. He's now moving to a completely new country. Everything is different. Everything is new. Do you want to try and keep his room and things that he knows constant to try and get him to settle in better? Or is he resilient enough to just sort of start fresh? I mean, us as adults, it's easy to just get everything new and there you go. But I think for a child, it's. I mean, he's only 4 years old, so his entire 4 years can be completely wiped out and all the memories. So those are the decisions that we're sort of looking at the next few months, which is quite difficult. I hope I answered your question.
It's so brilliant because you know, we had this discussion, and every time it comes back to things that we've discussed in the past few months, over the past few episodes. It is, you know, we had the discussion, do you actually fly your things over? We had a bit of a joke about linen and the Dutch people being taller. So it doesn't help if you fly your linen over, because it won't fit over your bed. The beds here are just generally bigger. And yeah, which is great for me. It feels like I'm, you know, sleeping on one massive bed. But yeah, you've touched on it, you know, thinking about children. Myself, Sia and Corey, we don't have children, so we don't quite think in that way. So it's great to hear from your perspective, you know, what's the type of things that you are thinking towards. But I can hear a lot of challenges, but also the main thing that actually comes, you know, comes to mind when I listen to you speak is a very positive, proactive approach that you guys are taking, and that's brilliant for me to actually that really motivates me as well. To when I'm looking at my personal situation, there's also things, you know, not nearly as challenging as you are facing, but it really motivates me to stay positive, stay proactive, and I believe it will also motivate the listeners, you know, that's going to listen to these podcasts episodes in the future and on a bi-weekly basis at the moment. So no, that's awesome. Sounds really productive, proactive rather, how you're approaching the next few months.
Yeah, no, I think, and also because the three of us are always rambling on, but it's also good to hear it from someone else. And I think it's everything you also say in some way or form is relatable to, well, the three of us, but I mean, everyone who has taken this step, everyone has had one or more of the same experience or challenges that you've had in this, well, relatively short period. I think you've had a few extra in a very short time span. But I think speaking about that, if you can, from your journey from where you started up until now, is there one thing that stands out, or let's say like a top three things that you would say that as ek nou vir mense kan raad gee, of as ek dit weer kon doen, wat sou ek anders gedoen het, of wat sou ek weer dieselfde gedoen het? You know, so what are the one or the three things that you would want to give other people who are in this process or thinking about taking their things and going to a new country?
No, that's quite a difficult question to answer. I mean, I've only been out the country for 2 weeks now. But I think the big thing is, and it's a beauty of social media, we're so used to the global culture. So there's a big global culture out there. And a big thing is you have to open yourself up to new things. You're not going to go to another country and expect that I want it this way, I want to do this, I want to do that. You have to immerse yourself in the area you're in, and you have to go with that mindset. I think that has maybe assisted me in embracing, you know, different foods and things that you usually would not eat at all, and just doing things that you won't do at all. But it becomes part of the experience, and it sort of makes you feel more comfortable much quicker, I think, and that's a big thing. You have to be adaptable. You have to be able to adjust quickly. Because I mean, it's a big change. You guys can speak a lot more about it than I can. Like, so I'm still fresh in the process. But I think you just have to go and realize that you have to integrate yourself into other people's cultures, into other people's ways of doing things. And if you go in with that mindset and just open yourself up to new things and constantly be positive about it, that's going to change. I think your mentality is a big thing. But it's a big thing you learn in South Africa as well. I think, you know, we all see on social media, our friends, family, everyone, we tend to say more negative things than positive things. And I think it's just a mental shift that we need to start making, is rather look at the positive things in your life and how blessed you are and what you have. And then you start seeing the positive things in everything, instead of always complaining about everything. Like, I can complain about how there's not one good mayonnaise in this country, and I'm probably in the US as well. Like, it tastes like nothing. And I just want black. I mean, it's 2 weeks and I just want a proper mayonnaise. But I can just look at, I can try many different other type of sauces that we don't have in South Africa. So, and get used to that. So I think it's just, that's one thing that I think has probably favored me now. Like I said, I'm still fresh. I'm probably still have fresh legs in terms of everything that lies ahead. In a few months when I'm a bit seasoned, we can have this discussion again. But you have to open yourself up to new things. And like I said, I think social media has sort of assisted us in getting used to different flavors. I mean, just look at the foods we have in South Africa as well. We've tasted foods from all over the world, and you get those exact same foods here as well. So that sort of makes it easier to adjust, but there's new things and you have to experience it because things do taste different, even though it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's well said, Jock.
Yeah, no, definitely. Be open to new flavors. Sorry, Edwin, I'm interrupting you.
Not at all, no. Hey, Jock, just before we wrap this up, I think the listeners would actually pick up that we haven't really covered the fact that, or we haven't really covered where in the US are you actually heading off to? The US is a pretty big country. where exactly are you going? You don't have to give me a street address, but, for the next few months, where are you going to be heading?
Yeah, so they're setting up shop in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So to sort of make it easier, Breaking Bad, if those that have watched Breaking Bad, that's where they make the drugs. It's in the desert. That's where I'm going. So
that's also close to where Jeff Bezos and I think Blue Origin is his company's name, is now on the 20th launching their rocket into space. I think it's pretty close. I might stand to be corrected. I'm not sure, but yeah, it sounds pretty familiar.
We're close to Roswell as well, so hopefully I have a few experiences coming up soon.
Well, going to the place to be.
I think the nice thing about this move is the climate is very similar to Pretoria. It's quite high up, so there's not really snow and anything, and it's a lot cheaper to live there than a lot of other places in the US. So I think getting that early adjustment going is quite nice. But yeah, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Is the place we're going, and then hopefully in the future. So they're looking at building the first test reactors and stuff in Tennessee, in Oak Ridge. So that's close to Knoxville. So that seems like a kind of area that I would love to be in, but awesome. We'll see where the road takes us. But there it's going to be cold as far as I know. So luckily we're getting to a place that has similar weather, which makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference. We've touched on that quite regularly. I thought we're not going to touch on it today, and I think Corey, we should not hammer on that. But the weather makes a difference, and I'm glad that you might get something that you are pretty used to. It makes the transition quite a lot easier. You know, you're not landing in Russia or somewhere in the middle of winter, or in Calgary in Canada in the middle of winter. So that should help. Jock, from our side, hey, thank you very much, and just make the best out of it. You know, I'll catch up with you on WhatsApp on a regular basis and all that. But we hope to catch up with you in a few months' time, to see how everything planned out. And just from our side, all the best. And we know that you're going to make a success out of it. And yeah, you've got our support and you've got your family support, so you're going to absolutely crush it.
Yeah, thanks, Jock. We really appreciate your time. And as Edwin said, good luck. And we will catch up with you to see how your journey goes.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. It's nice chatting to a few guys again. So makes a big difference. And I thank you for that we could chat.
Follow us on your favorite podcasting platform or visit the website onsvajoupodcast.com.